for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, July the 6th, 2000. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Frank Marzulla of DeLand, Florida, is the teacher of the morning.
Praise the Lord. Amen. See, I can say the word, be recreated in the name of Jesus. I've seen that happen several times in my ministry, people. I've seen it happen. My wife and I were ministering in Italy, and this woman came up for prayer. She said, I've been having this pain all my life because there's a bone missing in my tailbone here. There's a bone missing near there. I was born that way. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I speak recreation to her in the name of Jesus. I speak recreation. She amazed everyone, including myself. She got up and started to jump and jump and jump, and she had no pain. She felt something come into her.
Wow.
Amen. You see, family, we have no understanding of God's power that He gets to man. We haven't touched the tip of the iceberg yet on the power of God. I was talking to my good friends, Steed and Ruth, and we were discussing this. There's so much more that God wants us to use if He can trust us with His Word. That's a big if He can trust us with His Word. Amen? And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And so it was. See, He spoke the Word. Amen? So we see that the Word of God is a creative Word. Amen? Now, I've read these scriptures hundreds of times, and I never knew what God was trying to convey to me. He spoke. He spoke. And creation came into being. And I'm starting to realize. I'm just starting. I'm 86 years old. I'm still starting to learn what God is all about, so to speak. He wants to use His creation to recreate. I don't mean just to bring forth children. I'm talking about to be God-like. Amen? To manifest God through the body that we have, through this vessel of clay. Amen. I know the Holy Spirit is in me and is in you, because He said to me, Frank, you are anointed. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I used to pray, Lord, as I go to speak, let your anointing be upon me. He said, you already have it. You already have it. My Spirit is in you. Amen? And even when I feel down in the dumps, I can come up and start speaking, and I'm another person. Amen? Because the anointing will not leave you nor forsake you. He is God. Can you imagine God living in you? Can you imagine while you're doing your housework, while you're sweeping the floor, the Holy Spirit is in you? Just think about that. The awesome power of God is in you, even when you're doing the mundane things. Amen? You have to consider that. God is in you. And I'd like you to turn to an experience that Moses had in Exodus chapter 4. Let's start with chapter 3. Chapter 3. Moses was keeping his father-in-law's sheep there in the wilderness, and he saw a beautiful sight on the side of the mountain. There was a bush on fire, but it was not consumed. So in Exodus 3, chapter 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is a holy ground. God spoke to Moses, and he called him out from the bush. And he spoke, and he said, I'm going to send you back. I'm going to send you back to your brethren, that you will set them free. And Moses was really excited about that. He was gung-ho, was he? No, he wasn't. He wanted to get out of the assignment. And in chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered and said, but suppose they won't believe me. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared unto you. And so the Lord said to him, what do you have in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, well, cast it to the ground. So Moses cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Well, why did Moses flee from the serpent? It must have been a dangerous serpent. All kinds of varieties of serpents. But he ran away from it. Amen? And then we see, Moses said, the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, listen, family, that takes a lot of faith. To reach out and take a serpent by the tail. You don't grab a serpent by the tail. If you grab it by the tail, what do you think is going to happen? Going to turn around and bite you. You grab it by the head. But God was trying to teach Moses faith. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And so Moses took it by the tail. Amen. And it became a rod again. Amen. Now the rod that Moses had became a symbol of God's authority and power. Amen. It became a symbol of God's authority and power. So whenever God wanted him to do something, he used the rod. Amen? Now, in Exodus chapter 14, we see an example of this. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 16, the children of Israel were there, hounded by the Pharaoh coming behind them. They were sort of between the devil and the deep blue sea, so to speak. Amen? And the children of Israel were crying out. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, take the rod in your hand, stretch it over the water. That rod was a symbol of a power and authority. And Moses stretched his hand with the rod in it. And what happened? It divided the water. The waters were divided on the east, on one side and the other. And they walked through dry ground, the scriptures say. It wasn't marshy. It wasn't damp. It was dry ground. Amen? God worked a marvelous miracle. I saw it. I saw the movie with Charlton Heston. So I must believe it is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stretch out your hand. And it was so. Another time the children of Israel cried out because there was no water. In Exodus chapter 17. And starting with verse 4. And Moses cried out to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. Now, if you ever want to be a pastor, a leader of people, get ready to be stoned. Your people will sometimes cry out and they literally would like to stone you. Amen? So, and anybody that has an aspiration of being a pastor or a leader, be careful. Make sure there's no stones around. Amen. In verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. And you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now just think. Just picture Moses standing on the rock and striking it, and the water gushing out of the rock. Amen. The water gushing out of the rock. Praise the Lord. That's symbolic of Jesus being the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. The living water coming out. Amen. So, praise the Lord. So, here we see Moses using the rod, the symbol of authority and power. Another time, the same thing happened. There was no water. In Numbers chapter 20. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. Now, Moses got used to using the rod as God's symbol of authority and power. And I think Moses, now you have to remember, he was human like you and I. He sort of got puffed up sometimes. I have the power of God in my hand. Here it is, the power of God. Hallelujah. And some people get puffed up. I'm a deliverance chaser, minister. I'm a demon chaser. No, you're not. The Lord is. And I think Moses forgot it was the Lord that let the water come out of that rock. Amen? We see in Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregations and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. See, God told him to carry that rock. But what God did not say, strike the rock. God said what? Speak to the rock. Amen? Speak to the rock. See, God was trying to teach Moses there was more than just a piece of wood in his hand. That's authority. There was something that God had put inside of Moses, a power in the spoken word. Speak to the rock. But Moses did what he was used to doing. And then he got sort of presumptuous, and he cried out in verse 10, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock? Well, who's going to bring the water out of the rock? Moses, you or God? Must we, Aaron and me, bring water out of this rock? And what did he do? He did not obey God, and he struck the rock. Now, God honored that because he wanted the people to drink. He knew that they were very thirsty. They needed the water. But he was disappointed in Moses for not obeying him. You see, God does not want 80% obedience, 90% obedience. God demands 100% obedience. God says when he speaks a word, he wants you to follow that word exactly and not deviate from it. Just because you did it before one way, when he tells you to do it another way, do it. Amen? Some of the things that Jesus did, some people won't do. He made a mud pie with a spit, with the dirt of the ground, and plucked it on the man's eye. How unsanitary. Supposing I did that to you, how many of you would like to get prayers? Yeah. You know, the Lord has been putting something in my heart. There's something in us. We receive the Holy Spirit. Our inner man starts to become holy, godlike, the spiritual man. My spit becomes holy. Boy, you're quiet. Well, it was for Jesus Christ. And we have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's what the Bible said. Amen? See, there's more to just what we see, the physical. There's the spiritual man. And when God says, speak to the rock, and we speak, what's coming out of us is the voice of the spiritual man. Amen? God did not tell Moses to strike the rock. He told him to speak to the rock. Amen. In a sense, God was saying to Moses, I've given the power. It's in your word. Amen. Now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this, starting with verse 11, Deuteronomy chapter 30. For this commandment which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is afar off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor it is beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Notice verse 14 now. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Where is the word? Where is it? In your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil.
What chapter?
That is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 to 14. Okay? Did I make a mistake? No. It's the people's ears that made a mistake. Is that right? Okay. See, God put that in you. It's in there. You can make a decision. It's in your mouth. How do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You say it with your mouth. You believe it in your heart. Isn't that right? You say it with your mouth. You speak the word. And then it becomes life when you speak that word. See? And the word is near you, right in your mouth. I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. We have the power in the name of Jesus to speak life. Look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death. What else? Blessing and cursing. See, you have a choice. With the same mouth you can bless. With the same mouth you can curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your children, your descendants may live. Choose life. See, choose life. That means choose Jesus Christ, who is life, your life, my life. Amen? So this is what we have to understand. The word is right in your mouth, in your heart. See, when you do, when you speak with faith in your heart, the faith of the Holy Spirit in you, then you're speaking God's words. You choose with your mouth. You declare with your mouth. I declare Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for all my sins. Well, what am I doing? I'm making a confession of faith. I'm saying with my mouth, who is my Lord and Savior? Amen. I choose eternal life in doing so. You have to remember, family, you're all living eternal life. One way or the other, you're living eternal life. You're living eternal life in Christ. And if you're not living an eternal life in Christ, you're damned. Amen? You don't need any symbols. It's in your mouth. We were talking about people wearing crosses as a symbol. And oftentimes I go to people and I say to them, why are you wearing that cross? And if they say it's to protect me, then I say, take it off. That's an amulet. Now, a cross in itself is not an amulet. It's why you wear it. God judges your heart. Why are you wearing it? If you're wearing it to protect you, then it becomes an amulet because you are protected by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Amen. Revelation 12:11. And part of that, and the other part of that is dying to your old nature. You know, a lot of people don't want to die, but God says you have to die to the old nature in order for resurrection life to flow through you. You have to die. I was sharing with Steve and Ruth. I said, you can put this in your Bible. If you're dead to self, no demon can get in you. No demon can live in dead flesh. Write that in your Bible. No demon can live in dead flesh. Amen? If you're really dead to self. See, God was trying to show Moses that the word that he puts in his mouth has creative power. But Moses had to speak it. And because of that, Moses was not allowed to go in Canaan land. But did God forgive Moses, so to speak? You know that Moses went to Canaan land? On the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there? Right? Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. So I guess he got into Canaan land anyway. God was forgiving. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Now I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Glory to the Lamb of God. Matthew chapter 12. Starting with verse 43. Okay, Jesus was having a problem with some of the Sadducees. And you know why they were called Sadducees? They were sad, you see. Amen. And he called them some wonderful names here. Verse 34, brood of vipers. You bunch of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Did you ever say something and you go, ooh, I didn't mean to say that? How many of you had that happen? Yes, you did. Because it was in you. And when you couldn't guard it, out it came. It was there. You see, this is a computer bank. You put in garbage in this computer bank, and what's going to come out? Garbage. You put Jesus Christ in here. You put the Word of God, and keep putting the Word of God. This computer bank becomes filled with Jesus Christ. It's what you put into it. That's what's going to come out. Amen? When they talk about the heart, they're not talking about this vessel that pumps blood. They're either talking about your mind or your spirit. It all depends on what goes on before and after that word. Don't try to take it out of context. See, the heart could be your soul or your spirit. It all depends on how you use the word in the sentence. Amen? It doesn't mean, oh, I love you with all my heart. Well, this heart is just another organ in your body. It has no emotions. It's your mind that loves the Lord with everything. Amen? You think about that. Amen. How can you be in evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You mean God is going to judge every word I speak? Yes. Why? Well, he's going to see what you created by what you spoke. And you're going to be judged by what you created by what you spoke.
That's right.
Did you create life with your mouth? Or did you create death? My, you're quiet. Some of you said things with your mouth that you wish you never said. I know it happened to me. Amen? See, you're going to be judged. Let me ask you something. Would you like a tape recording made of the thoughts of your mind and played over here so we can all hear it? No way. No way. Because the scripture says the heart is evil. That means the mind. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, of taking every thought, every imagination captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can get on your knees and start praying, and at the same time your mind sometimes takes a flight and you can think of some nasty things. Did that ever happen to you? Yeah, or do I am the only one that needs deliverance?
Not quite.
Amen. See, you know, the doctor and I, we could be walking down the street talking about the Lord, and then while we're talking nice and quiet, all of a sudden right in front of us, a little chick comes in and she starts walking. And one of us gets an awful thought in his mind. Now, I'm not going to tell you which one of us. Some one of us has to get into spiritual warfare immediately and get out of my mind in the name of Jesus.
Maybe it's both
of us. I mean, you see, sometimes you can't guard all of it. All of a sudden, a rock falls. You know, you're driving your car, you prepare it. You prepare your car, you make sure you have oil, you make sure your tires are okay and everything. And you're driving along the road, and all of a sudden you see the sign that says, beware of fallen rocks. Well, how can you prepare for fallen rocks? How can you prepare for things like that to happen? All of a sudden, something happens. Amen. All you can do is depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ when it happens. In the name of Jesus, get out of me. Get away from me. In Jesus' name. The greatest prayer there is very simple. Jesus, help me. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we have to know that our words will be judged, family. See, you have to know. And Paul tells us to pull down these strongholds. Get rid of them. Get them out of your mind. Amen? They must be evil in order for Paul to say, pull them down. Amen. See, how many here have a mountain of problems similar to what I'm describing that you'd like to have them cast out? Well, you need to get them cast out. You'll be here at 3 o'clock and get them cast out. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them who believe. What's the first sign? Come on, come on, come on. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name? That's the first sign. If you're a believer and you're not casting out demons, there's something wrong. And where do you start? Here. Here. Clean this vessel. Amen. Before you try to clean any other vessel. What's the second sign? They shall speak in new tongues. If you haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the manifestation of speaking in tongues, you need the power. You need the power. Everybody say, I need the power.
I need the power.
You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Well then, search for it. Seek it. Even today, if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be an effective Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Speaking in tongues, the least of the gifts. No, I'd rather have the speaking in tongues. If I don't have anything, at least I want that. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's the key to the power gifts. When I speak in the Spirit, as the Bible says, what am I doing? I'm quickening this body. Amen? Glory to God. We need that. Amen. A lot of people come up for prayers and they get slain in the Spirit. Down the floor they go. And some people come time and time again and keep going on the floor. I used to wonder, why do people fall down? Well, sometimes people fall down because the Holy Spirit is with them, and it's a blessing they fall down. They're receiving a blessing. Some people fall down because they're pushed down. Some people fall down because they want to go down, because they look spiritual. Some people fall down because they're so full of demons that they come against the power of God and down they go. Sometimes I put my hand behind the person's neck and I say, and I start praying. And as they start to lean back with it, I pull them back toward me.
Amen.
Because if they fall down and they go out, I can't minister to them anymore. Is that right, doctor?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So, receive a blessing. But don't fall down just because you look spiritual. Amen. Let's get back to the power of the spoken word. See, I've seen the creative power of God work mightily. But I know that there's more. There's always more. Amen. There's always more in the power of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember the first time, I think I shared with you, some of you, this, about this. I went to the hospital to pray for that sick woman with my wife, and we held hands, and I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come up my legs, into my body, into my hands, and I knew that woman was healed. I've seen it time and time again. And I remember one time, they asked me to go to pray for this woman that was dying of cancer, a young woman. She was still in her early 30s. She had a young baby, and here she was in the hospital. And each time I went, I saw her get progressively worse. You know, and I got sort of angry. Did you ever get angry with the Lord? I sort of lost my temper. I asked forgiveness, but I put my face against the wall in that hospital room, and I was going, why, Lord, why? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, are you willing to pray for someone else after I take her? He said, Frank, your business is to pray. I'm the healer.
Amen.
Are you willing to pray for someone else after I take her? I said, yes, Lord. Well, then you do your business and I'll do mine. And the Lord took her. But there was peace in my heart because he spoke to me. And so I keep praying for people. And each time I pray, I expect a miracle. See, I'm the salesman. He's the sales manager. I do my business. He does his. And if he doesn't want to do it, that's his business, not mine. Amen? Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus gave us a command. And every word of God is a command. I want you to know that Jesus was a dictator. You ever think of Jesus as a dictator? Every word is a command. Jesus never said, I suggest that you do this and you do that. No, no. He commanded. That's right. Benevolent dictator, nevertheless. And he commanded. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. No, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 10, not Mark. Please forgive me. Matthew chapter 10. So verse 1. And when he called his 12 disciples to himself, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. And then in verse 7 and 8, and as you go, now this is a command, family, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Now, listen, he gave us a command. He didn't say, I suggest that you pray for healing. He didn't say, go and pray for healing. What did he say? He said, heal the sick. There's a difference in just going and praying for someone, and the other part is you go there and you heal them. Think of what that word says. Did you hear it? Did you get it, sister? You go there and you heal. Oh, glory, I'm getting goosebumps. Amen? See, in other words, there's a different kind of authority. There's a different kind of purpose in your heart. Yes, you do it in the name of Jesus. But you have to believe that when you pray, they're being healed. Not that you don't, well, supposing it works. I hope it works. Maybe it'll work. I'm going to pray. I'll give them a prayer. No. There's a difference. Jesus said, it's a command. Heal them. In other words, you get yourself ready to go there. And know that when you lay hands, there's a transference of the Holy Spirit in you to that vessel. The Lord has been teaching me quite a bit on tongues. There's so many different kinds of tongues. I heard Derek Prince speak about this, but I've experienced it. There's a tongue of rebuke. You lay hands upon the person, and when the Holy Spirit tells you, you speak. And I've seen demons come out of people just by speaking in tongues. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just speaking in tongues, is all, at the command of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what demons were coming out of that person, the Holy Spirit. It was none of my business. I obeyed. I just spoke in tongues, and that person was set free. Now, I don't always do this. I do it when the Holy Spirit says speak. There's many kinds of tongues. You see, there's something in us, family, that is God. And God's ways are not our ways. Well, thank you, Lord. God's ways are not our ways. And there are times when the Holy Spirit uses us in some ways that we don't understand, but it works. There's more than just speaking in tongues. There's more than just in the name of Jesus. There's having him in you, come out of you, exploding. That's what he wants to do when he can trust us with his word. Amen. I'm seeing more and more of the power of God. The Lord has been teaching me about demons living in certain parts of the body. I shared it with Dr. Noel. There's something more. commanding them out of those female organs, commanding them out of the breast, commanding them out of this area, that area, in the name of Jesus, and they come out. I had a woman there in Bogota that came up to me some years ago. She said, we've been married 8 years. We've been praying for a child, and we can't seem to get pregnant. And I found out that she was heavily involved at one time, heavily involved in witchcraft. And the Lord showed me that she had a web of witches in her female organs, that as soon as her husband deposited the seed, the witches destroyed it. And therefore, she couldn't get pregnant. Now, if I were to tell this in some churches, they'll throw me out. Amen. I'm glad you don't have any stones in your hands. No. We commanded those, that web of witches, to come up and get out. They came up and got out. The next year that my wife and I went to Bogota, here was this woman in front of me. Ooh, wow. I thought she was going to have a baby any day. And she said, I'm the one that you prayed for. She got pregnant. We commanded demons that were embedded in her female organs out. We had several here in this camp meeting, that we commanded spirits out of the female organs. Didn't we, doctor? Yeah. See, the Lord is showing me there's more than just John 3:16. There's knowing that we are spiritual beings and we have creative power in the name of Jesus when we're guided by the Holy Spirit. I remember the time, it was about 15 years ago, my wife, my daughter, my granddaughter went blueberry picking. And as they were coming out of the farm road, a drunken driver hit them right on the side where my granddaughter, who was driving the car, and my wife was sitting in the back seat, crushed that little car. They called me at home. I was at home, and a voice said, Mr. Marzullo, you have to hurry. And they described the accident. They're getting a plane to bring your wife, a helicopter to bring your wife and granddaughter to the hospital. They're dying. The first thing I did was got on my knees and I rebuked the spirit of death. I commanded to leave my family in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Was I frightened? You better believe it. But I came against fear. I rebuked it. And then I went to the hospital. They told me that my wife was not going to live. 9 broken bones. Internal injuries. 70-year-old woman. In no way could she survive. Amen. There she was in the hospital room. The nurse told me that your wife is going to die. I fired the nurse. I wouldn't have anything negative in that room. Okay? And I was walking up and down in front of her bed. And the Lord said to me, speak to her, prophesy. And I pointed my finger at her. And I said, thou shalt get out of that bed. Thou shalt walk by my side. Thou shalt minister again with me. Amen. See, I spoke the creative word of prophecy. It didn't happen right away, but slowly but surely. She got out of the bed, was in a wheelchair for some time, then got in a walker, then a cane, then she threw away the cane. She said, I'm not going to have this cane. What did I do? I spoke the words that the Holy Spirit put in my mouth. There was a creative word of prophecy. And she lived 15 more years. She died this past December, 86 years old. I just thank God that He gave her 15 more years. Yes. Amen. Amen. You see, I've been teaching, praying for people. I've been teaching the positive word, so to speak, and praying. But then I was tested. What am I saying? When the Holy Spirit guides you and you speak the word, family, there's creative power in that word. Amen? Amen? Amen. Supposing you make a mistake. Have you ever made a mistake in ministry, doctor? I wish I had a dollar for every one I made. Hallelujah. But you keep trying. You keep getting up and keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Remember, get off the floor and out the door. So keep giving what you received. Amen. Amen. I'm going to offer you 4 steps in using the creative word for healing or deliverance. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 11. Some years ago, I was invited to go to this church in Key West. It was an Assembly of God church. Now, I got the invitation because there was a friend of mine that was going to that church, and he convinced the pastor that he should have me. And now, an Assembly of God doctrine usually do not believe that a Christian could be demonized. Amen? So I was going there, and I was wondering what to bring. And I said, Lord, what shall I bring? And suddenly I receive on my mind Mark 11, 22, 23. And I turned to there, and, you know, and I read the scripture. Have faith in God. Speak to the mountain. Say to the mountain. So I went there. Now remember, I didn't go alone. I'm not talking, I was with my wife, but I'm trying to tell you that I went there armed with the word of God. God put the word in my mind. Speak to the mountain. And the night before I preached, it was a Saturday night, there was a knock at the door, and here was this big fellow there. He said, are you Mr. Marzullo? I said, yes. He said, I heard about your ministry. I like some prayers. So I said, come in. And we sat down. And then he told me, he confessed, he said, I was just released from prison. I'm a kleptomaniac. In other words, he was put in there for constantly stealing. He said, I need to get rid of this habit. And he knew nothing about deliverance, so I had to start teaching him a little bit. In the midst of the teaching, he said, you know, I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. I just want prayers. And I noticed his eyes. One eye was going this way and the other eye was going that way. And I said, I'd like to pray for your eyes. He said, go ahead. And I put my hands on his eyes. I told him to shut them. And I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Simple prayer. Be healed. And then I continued on with deliverance. And after a while, he said, he stopped me. He said, I have to tell you, I didn't believe a word you were saying. But when you pray for my eyes, he said, I've been born blind from birth in this right eye. I couldn't see. But it opened right away.
Amen.
I can see now. I said, why didn't you tell me? No, I said, well, I would have jumped 10 feet. He said, I wanted to make sure. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so what happened? He brought word to the church. And the church was almost filled when I got there the next morning. Because that man talked about his miracle. Amen? And I brought a healing word there. And then I started to minister. And I started to command. Something in me started to say, speak to the mountain. See, God gave me a word. And any time that God speaks to you, it's a command. Amen? And holy boldness came into me. I started to command. There was this woman that was in an accident, couldn't bend her knee, and she was sitting in front of me to be prayed for. I poked my finger on her knee. I command you to bend in the name of Jesus. That's the way I spoke. I spoke, I command you to bend in the name of Jesus. Bend, I said. And she bent that knee that was frozen for 8 years. Amen? And I spoke to the one that couldn't hear. And I command that ear to open up in the name of Jesus. And it opened. And there was this great big woman. She was really big. And I said, what do you want the Lord to do for you? To get rid of this bloat. I can't seem to. I've been to the doctors. I can't seem to get rid of that bloat. Forgive me. I did the same thing. I put my finger in her bloat. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You know, that's not my usual way of doing it. But I commanded that bloat to go. And the next day she was able to fold her dress. It went. You see, what happened? I obeyed the word. God gave me a word. I obeyed the word. Amen? The word became flesh. Creative word of God. Amen? I minister a little differently now. I don't go around poking. I remember reading Smith Wigglesworth where he just punched a hole in the stomach. Now, I don't go punching people in the stomach. Would you like? Go ahead. But anyway, See, what happened? I obeyed the word. And creative power came forth. Amen. I'm going to give you four steps here in the creative word. Starting with verse 22. Step number one. Say, step number one. Say, everybody say, step number one. Have faith in God. See, you have to believe that what God says in His Word, He's going to perform. He's going to do it. Amen? You have to believe it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is. That He is the rewarder of those that diligently search for Him. You have to believe. That's the first step. Amen? Step number two. In verse 23. For assuredly, when you see that word assuredly, Jesus is saying, listen to me. This is what I want to get into you. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Whoever speaks to the mountain. Now, step number two is to speak to the mountain. Whatever the mountain is. You have a mountain of problems. You have a certain mountain. Whatever the mountain is, you speak to the mountain. You don't ask God to speak to the mountain. You speak to the mountain using God's authority that He gave you. He gave you the authority. He said, in my name, you shall cast out demons. In my name, you shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Be healed in the name of Jesus. 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 He gave you the authority. You speak to the mountain. Are you hearing me? You already received the authority. Then use it. Amen? Say, step number one. Have faith in God. Step number two. Speak to the mountain. Step number three. Do not doubt. For anyone who doubts is like a double-minded person. Don't expect that man to receive anything from the Lord. As it says in James chapter 1. Do not doubt. Believe that what you say, believing, you will receive. Amen? Step number four. In verse 25 and 26. This is very important. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Forgive. Everybody say, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. You're not going anywhere if you don't forgive. You're going somewhere, sure. Because you disobey the word of the Lord. Listen, family, any time you disobey a word of God, you're going to open your door to curses.
Amen.
I want you to see this. Turn to Deuteronomy quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to see this. Anytime you disobey the word of the Lord, whether in the Old Testament or New Testament, you're going to open your door to curses. Chapter 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Do you see that? Now look at the same chapter, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and the statutes which He commanded you. When God says it twice, He really means it. Amen? And when you disobey, oh, well, that's Old Testament. That's not prevalent. That doesn't count. You better believe it. Because if you don't, you have opened the door to curses. And if you want over 50 curses put upon you, that's what Deuteronomy says. There's only 15 verses less than that, of blessings, and all the rest are curses. Would you like all those curses put upon you? No way. Amen. So forgive. Amen. Now I'm going to change the order of the curse of these steps, and then we're going to go on, because we have just about 10 more minutes or so. Okay. Step number one. Say, I believe in God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is God.
That He died on the cross for my sins.
For my sins.
And I am sorry for all my sins.
I believe he died and rose again from the dead the third day. Now sits at the right hand of the Father.
Thank you, Jesus,
for dying for me,
for cleansing me,
for forgiving me,
for shedding your blood for me.
Amen.
You have to believe in God, and Jesus is also God, God the Son.
Amen?
And you have to believe that what he says in his word is it's exactly the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you have to know that it's only through Jesus Christ that you're going to go to heaven.
Amen?
All right. The next one is say, step number two.
I will not doubt.
I command doubt to leave me.
All doubt,
skepticism,
unbelief,
all that is not of faith,
I command it to leave me
in the name of Jesus.
Take a deep breath. Let it all doubt out in Jesus' name. All out in the name of Jesus.
All doubt, unbelief, skepticism.
All out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Okay. That was step number two, right? All right. Now, step number three, I forgive everyone that has hurt me. Whether they're living or dead, I forgive. And I forgive myself for what I have done to myself, what I have done to others. I forgive. And I command the spirit of unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, hatred, root of bitterness, envy, jealousy, retaliation, revenge, and all like spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and let it out. All out. Get out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. Get it out in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now we come to the most important part. Speak to the mountain. Each one of you have your own individual mountain to speak to. Amen? The Word of God says, ask and thou shalt receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. But you have to do the asking. You have to do the seeking. You have to speak to the mountain and command it to go in the name of Jesus, whatever it is. Amen? I want you all to stand. I want you to start speaking to the mountain and speak out loud. Don't pay any attention to anybody else. Speak to the mountain, whatever the mountain is. You mountain of arthritis, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You mountain of this or that, whatever it is. Start speaking to the mountain. Come on, start speaking to the mountain. Right now, speak to the mountain. You mountain of diverticulitis, go in the name of Jesus. You mountain of migraine headaches, go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. You mountain of back pain, go in the name of Jesus. Speak to the mountain. In the name of Jesus. Speak to the mountain. That's right. Keep coming out. You mountain. It could be a mountain of deliverance. It could be a mountain of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, you all have to go in the name of Jesus. Speak to the mountain. Command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.
Could I speak to the mountain of my son being on drugs and alcohol?
Speak to the mountain. Yes.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. You mountain of drugs that is affecting my daughter, my son, I command you to get away from them. Get out in the name of Jesus. Speak to the mountain. In the name of Jesus. Just speak to the mountain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Takaya halatolakuma. There's several people here that have pain in their body. You have a mountain of pain. I want you to come forward right now. Come forward right now. You have pain in your body. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The rest of you, please sit down. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Where's the pain, sister? In your back. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke that pain. I command it to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And be healed in the name of Jesus. Bend over, sister. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Do you still have pain? You still have pain? Sit down, sister. Sit down over there. I guess all of you have seen the lengthening of legs. Put the small of your back against the back of the chair. That's it. Keep your shoes on. Let me have your feet. Let me have your feet. Thank you, Lord. Well, you have this leg that's longer than this one. You've got about a half inch difference. Just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's already coming down. It's already down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Say it. For taking away the pain. For putting my body in divine order. Thank you, Lord. Put your legs down, dear. In Jesus' name, be healed. Will you please stand? Sit. Stand. Do you have pain? Better. Now, all right. What you have to do is start walking. And as you walk, every step, I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Where's the pain, sister?
Right in here.
Put your hand on that area of pain. Wherever it is, put your hand on that area of pain. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the pain. I command, thank you, Lord. I command the pain to leave, and that your bodies will come in divine order, your backbone come in divine order with your spine area. In the name of Jesus, receive the healing love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Receive it. Thank you, Lord. Turn your neck. Turn your neck. In Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Bend over, sister. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive the healing love of Jesus. Be healed. Don't fall down in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be healed. Receive the healing love of Jesus. I rebuke the pain. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, let your precious blood come into these areas that they're touching. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I command the pain to leave in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive. Listen, if the pain goes, wave your hand. Wave your hand. Praise the Lord. Okay, fine. Pain gone? Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, just face me. In Jesus' name, be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let your precious blood cleanse that area, Lord Jesus. Be healed. Receive it now. Receive it. Now test it.
I felt something moving there.
You felt something moving?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Just praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, sister.
Me.
Your knee? Will you sit down, please?
I fell on it.
You fell on it?
Yeah.
You have pain right now?
I bend it.
Oh, yes, I see it. I feel it. In the name of Jesus. This one here. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come in divine order. Thank you, Lord. I command the pain to go in the name of Jesus. Receive the healing in the name of Jesus. All right, sister, get up.
It's feeling better.
Better? Mm-hmm. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, if the Lord can do these little things,
yeah,
a simple thing like that, He certainly can do whatever mountain you have in your pathway. But you start speaking to the mountain. You command that mountain to go.
Amen. And ask Lord Jesus for a transfusion of his precious blood coming into that area, sister, that's afflicting you. Coming into that area. And watch that precious blood cleanse and purify and heal. Amen. Amen. Now, we're supposed to quit now, aren't we?
When you get through.
When I get through. I thought you said quit at 12 o'clock. Okay. Amen. What is the need here, sister?
Cerebral palsy in the right side.
Pardon me?
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Will you stand up and hold them up? I want everybody to reach your hand toward this child. What's the name of the child?
Rickson. Mm-hmm.
Rickson, that's a nice name. Father, we rebuke the infirmity, cerebral palsy. We commend it out in the name of Jesus. We command every cell, cerebral palsy cell, every rebellious cell, to leave his body in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you, as a mother, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, let the precious blood of Jesus
come into his bloodstream,
searching out every cerebral palsy cell, and casting it out
by the precious blood of Jesus,
and in the name of Jesus. All right, now. In behalf of your son, I want you to speak to him now and say his name.
Rickson.
Rickson, receive.
Receive.
The precious blood of Jesus.
The precious blood of Jesus.
Amen. You're the authority here, and he's receiving it now, cleansing his body and healing him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Now expect it to go. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Such a beautiful child. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, family, what I shared with you this morning, now let me pray for our sister first. You felt numbness?
Yeah.
Okay. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, let your precious blood come into my bloodstream and to come against the source of this numbness. Yes. And heal it. Now. In Jesus' name. Now. Receive the transfusion, the infusion of the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I command the source of this numbness to go as the blood of Jesus surges through your veins, through your arteries. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive. In Jesus' name. Do you still feel numb?
A little less.
Pardon me?
A little less.
A little less. Keep thanking him now. Okay? Keep thanking him. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There's several people here that have nerve deafness. They're hard of hearing. I told this woman that any time I'm preaching, I want her to come forth. Hallelujah. What in the world happened to you?
Jesus healed me.
Hallelujah.
I'm serious.
Any more pain?
No.
Well, say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Father.
I told this woman that any time I'm preaching to come up. She wanted to. I'll pray for the problem too, sister. That to come up and to receive a fresh anointing.
And sister, such as I have, give I to you. Somebody get behind her. Such as I have, give I to you. Receive the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Receive the gift of faith. Receive. I anoint your ears to hear the word of the Lord, your lips to speak his word. Receive all this. Just receive. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who is the person that has... Yeah, come on up, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. What do you want the Lord to do for you, sir?
Well,
sir, have a seat.
Thank you. My walking trouble, they say, is hereditary.
Is it hereditary?
Yeah. I've been told that by doctors.
Uh-huh.
And that the next thing...
Did you accept that?
Well, I don't know anything about my parents, nothing. But my grandparents, I didn't know much about them. Only my grandparents' mother was a half Indian. Her mother was an Indian.
An Indian? Half Indian? What was the other half?
Irish, I believe.
Oh, that's a good combination.
Really? I think it was. I'm not sure. But my parents...
What do you want the Lord to do for you, brother?
I want healed. I want healed.
Of what? What?
I would like to be healed to walk.
Okay. First of all, I want you to say, I come against the curse.
I come against the...
The prognosis of the doctor.
The diagnosis of the doctor.
I command that curse to leave me.
I command that curse to leave me now.
Out of my bloodline.
Out of my bloodline.
As far back as 10 generations.
As far back as 10 generations.
I command the curse of infirmity and crippling to leave me.
I command that curse of crippling to leave me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Take a deep breath. Cough it out. Cough it out. That's right. Let it out. You crippling curse. You curse of infirmity. You prognosis of the doctor. That put a curse on him. You get out of him in the name of Jesus. That activated that curse. Get out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Let your healing love come into me.
Let your healing come into me.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, right now.
The one that you granted me when you died on the cross.
The one that you granted me when you died.
When you shed your blood for me.
When you shed your blood
yes.
for me. Yes.
Yes. When you endured stripes for me.
When you endured the stripes for me.
I want that healing.
I want that healing.
Your word says, by his stripes I was healed.
Your word said, by his stripes I am healed.
I claim it now.
I claim it
in
now.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All right, now receive the healing love of Jesus. I speak healing to your spine. I speak healing to your vertebrae.
Yes.
I speak healing to every bone and muscle.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Come in divine order.
Thank you, Jesus.
And thank you, Lord. And be strengthened. By the blood of the Lamb, in the name of Jesus, be strengthened and be healed. Well, get up, brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay? Well, let's walk. Let's walk. Let's walk. Come over here. Let's turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Throw away that cane. Put the cane away. Let's go. Let's walk. Let's walk. Come on, walk. Walk. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. That's right. Keep walking. Don't look at that cane. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. That's it. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Tell me where your seat is. Okay, I see it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How do you feel?
Better, I think.
Say amen. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Do that when you get home. Amen.
Amen.
And after a while, you're going to see you won't need this crutch. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.